Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, friends. Welcome to the U Up podcast. It's your hit of pod today. It's Friday. Oh my gosh, the weekend is, it feels like the first kind of like weekend that you can be like, it's the weekend. I don't know. Maybe last weekend felt that way too. But I am going to relax this weekend. I hope you get a chance to. It's been a long day again. Today was not a lot to show for it at the end of the day though. Podcast, a past life regression session. I told you guys about that when Anya was on the show the other day, I told you I was going to go talk to a guy about past life regressionism. I don't know if that's the name of it, but it's a type of therapy where you go back in your past lives and your future lives and you figure out things. And I don't believe any of it, to be real honest with you. However, I am open to new experiences. This guy approached me after hearing me. I was reminded of how he knew of me. He wrote me in my DMs. I said, oh yeah, yeah, I'll check this out. He offered me a free session. He saw me on Bill Maher, and on Bill Maher, I was talking about how I was running my own kind of Goop lab in my parents' place, where I'm just like trying any kind of therapy that I'll do whatever I was doing. I did breath work, which is where you just hyperventilate until you start fucking hallucinating because your body thinks it's dying. And then I did hypnosis, which I didn't talk about on any platform. I haven't even talked about it yet because I don't know that I've processed it, but I really was just trying to get hypnotized to like help me with a couple specific things. And I don't know if anyone here has ever done hypnotism, but it was not what I thought it was going to be. And I think it might be this way. Like, I think this might be a kind of way that you hypnotize people. And then you talk like this. And it's really this exaggerated. But when I talk like this, it's going to do something to your mind. And if I talk like this, it doesn't do something to your mind. I mean, honestly, that is the way she talked for an hour to me. And it was all part of it. But it was like going on a roller coaster with her intonation. It was I thought of roller coaster. I thought of the fucking thing I talked about on the podcast yesterday where the kid died at the theme park, the water park. Oh boy, it's a gruesome story in the Kansas City one. Someone wrote to me that they go to that water park in the years past and they haven't taken down the ride, which is a mistake. But I guess it would take so many cranes because it's like one of the tallest in the world. So the Schlitterbahn or whatever the fuck this thing is called that a kid was fucking decapitated on. Tragic, tragic story. They keep it up. And he said there's stains on it. And I go, blood stains? And he said, no, it's probably rust. And I was like, oh, okay. But anyway, past life regression guy. So I was open to it just because I thought it'd be a good story. But the hypnotist, you guys, someone write me if you experience a similar thing where the person talked like this and then they talked like this and then they talked like this and made things questions that were not questions. And then it was wild. And I don't think it worked because I just was judging it the entire time being like, this is so weird. So this guy was... He sent me a questionnaire before my session. First of all, it's a 4-hour session. I said, oh yeah, I'm free Thursday at 3. And then he wrote back, and I think I had to go, how long will this be? And he did 4 hours. Cause I thought it was like, oh, maybe an hour and a half. And I go, 4 hours, maybe mention that in the first, when you schedule it. Hey, by the way, this is going to take up half of your waking day. And so I made the time. I split it between Thursday and Friday. He said we could split it up. So I did the intro today where I met with him and he just asked me, he sent me a questionnaire. Let me read you the questionnaire because it was like, I wrote to him and I go, I can't answer any of these questions. And I'll tell you why as soon as I pull it up here. Common questions for your higher self / subconscious. If you had access to the library of all things, you in quotes, you, past, present, and future, what would you want to know? Imagine what it would be like to ask your life librarian the questions you've always yearned to have more clarity on. The sky is the limit. You can ask anything. And then that gives you a little bit of a prompt, like one, a question you could write. What is my purpose in life? Okay, well, that would kind of be my big question. But and then it goes inquiry into career decisions and directions. Questions regarding relationships, insight into physical, emotional ailments, recurring dreams, additional questions. And then has a page and a half for you to write additional questions. I was like, I don't know what to, I don't want to know anything. At first I go, will I end up with someone? Will I find love? Will I be in love again someday? And then I was like, I don't want to fucking know that. Because the truth is, if the answer is no, I don't want to know that. How that takes a lot of hope out. And I won't even trust it if he says no. So I don't care. And if he says yes, and then he tells me who it is and say he's right, then that ruins it. And then I think so much of living is not knowing what's going to happen. I don't want to know what's going to happen, good or bad, ever, ever, ever. I don't like spoilers. I don't want life spoilers. I don't like when I watch a TV show, I don't watch the beginning, like minute and a half of usually most every reality show, because all it is telling you what's going to happen later on. It's always like tonight on a very special. I don't ever watch any of those. I don't want to even see a moment. I don't want to see a girl gasp, because I'm like, God, I could have witnessed that gasp in the real moment. So that's what I'm saying. I wrote back to him and I said, I don't want to answer this. And I even said that I don't believe in past or future lives. So, I don't care about something I don't believe in. Like, insulted his work, but I am a skeptic. Why should I believe this shit? I got to be sold on it. So I'm willing to be sold. I showed up at it and it honestly felt like a date. The guy is way younger than I thought he was. He's like my age, probably a little bit younger. And he's just like a therapist. He's asking about, because all the questions I sent him, I thought I was sending to an old man who can see into past lives. Turns out it's like a kind of attractive guy in his late 20s who can see into your past life. So I sent him all these questions. And by the way, the questionnaire he sent me was like a paper. There wasn't like places to fill out. So I would have had to print it out, scan it. So I just wrote down the answers I wrote down my questions and then took pictures of all these pages. And I'm so vulnerable, you guys, like, cause I thought I was going to it like an old man. I don't know why that would change my vulnerability, but like, I didn't know it would be like a young guy. And I go, so I wrote questions like, what am I afraid of? Why is sex terrifying? And why am I sharing this with you? I don't fucking know. Just maybe to get a little less, like, I don't want it to only be shared between me and this doctor boy. He's not even a doctor. He just talks to like past lives. What is my fear if I were to stop and do nothing? Like things like that. So I wrote all these questions. I took pictures of these pages. We get to the session. He has them printed out and like huge. And he's going over them. And so he's just go digging right in. He goes, so let's talk about your issues with food. And I'm like, we just met. Like, if this were a date, we haven't even ordered drinks. Just because I gave you a little roadmap to my insanity doesn't mean you get to go there yet. But I guess that should have been my thing. It ended up being like a therapy session that, I gotta be honest, I didn't fucking need. I already do therapy. I work on myself every day. And am I going to go through with the 3-hour session tomorrow? You damn right I am, because what the fuck is going to happen then? And I spent all day bearing my soul to this kid. I'm not going to not follow through and find out what wild thing he's going to tell me. And I'm setting him up for success too. You know, I gave him a bird thing today. He can tell me I was a bird in a past life. He'll think that I'm going to be real delighted by that. He can make up that. He can, I think my food stuff, he's going to make it so I was like maybe a refugee in a past life. Or I said that I have a fear of homelessness, which I really do. He'll probably say that I was homeless in a past life. I gave him a lot to work with today and I know what I gave him. So I'm going to be aware of when he comes through tomorrow with some stuff. But it was like, what have I done? And even during the session, I was like, I got to be on. And because I was telling him about dates and how I get angry about having to spend time with people that aren't my soulmate. I don't like to practice. I just want to only do things that are moving swiftly towards the goal I want. And dating does not seem to be swiftly moving towards my soulmate. It just doesn't. It doesn't feel like that's how I'm going to get to the person I'm meant to be with, by going one guy, trying out one guy. It just doesn't. I don't think it's it. and it feels like pointless. And I think a lot of self-help work can also be that way, where it's like the thing that's going to work is going to work. And that's why I'm giving it one session, just like I gave hypnotherapy one session, just like I gave breath work one session. Those things didn't stick for me. Meditation stuck. Therapy in general did stick. I don't think going out back in my past lives is going to stick, but I am entertaining it. And if it does work, I'll tell you about it. And then you guys can do it. So I feel like there is some benefit in this, but 3 hours is a long time for old glazed dog to give that much time to something tomorrow. I mean, that's a big chunk of my day and it's like a work day, but I'm going to do it. And I reserve the right that if it's weird to be like, hi, I don't respect you or this process. And so I'm going to go. I mean, I guess there's a polite way to say that, but I might say that the kid was good. Let me just say that this guy knew his shit. He's going to be good. Like he's well on his way to being like a good therapist. He cares. He made me feel very comfortable. Although I am just someone, he kept thanking me for being so open, which was very nice. I had to keep being like, you're welcome. You're welcome. Anytime. He even asked me, you know, like, what would you be if you weren't a comedian? And he doesn't know me from anything except Bill Maher, by the way. He watched a little bit of my stand up. And he actually said some things that actually made me feel really good, because he was like, I didn't know anything about you. I just watched one thing and this is what I observe about you. And I was like, that's actually helpful for me, that how I come across to someone who's only absorbed this thing that I did. He said he watched my bangin' special, and I talk about blowjobs for 13 minutes straight. Like that's all I talk about, which, you know, feels like a triumph in and of itself. It was something that I honestly didn't seek to do, but once the material seemed to be that hefty, I was like, yeah, it'd be bold to put it in the front of the special. So that's what I did. And he was like, you like to buck convention. You do scary things. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I didn't realize like that was like so offensive. So I guess that made me think of it that way. And that was kind of helpful. But I don't know if finding out who I was in my past life is going to be helpful, because here's my point about past lives, and I'm going to move on. I'm excited because I have my friend Esther Pavitsky coming on. She has a new special that I can't wait for that is like part reality show and is like making me jealous. And that's why I want a reality show so bad. I just want to be filmed candidly. But just talking about past lives, I don't think human beings are going to live that much longer. So for me to explore some kind of future life, it's just going to be like either a rat, a cockroach, or like some kind of like molecule on a rock. So like this is my, so future lives, I just don't believe, maybe I'll be something in the future, but I think it's kind of, this is the last, if there's been a bunch of lives in the past, and every one of our past lives are as women. If you're a woman in your past life, up until the past couple, like 100 years, you were getting raped and abused like on the daily. So it was just like a terrible existence as a woman. As a human being, it was just rough for most of human civilization. Not even civilization, pre-civilization, it was really rough. But it's only been good for like our lifetime. So before that, it's just a bunch of bullshit. So of course we're all stressed out. We were getting like beat by cavemen and drug about by our hair, which sometimes was kind of hot and turned us on. Okay, I got to get to Esther. She's going to be here in a second. I got to get ready for it. So we'll be right back with little Esther Pavitsky, right after this. Tie-dye twins!
Yes! Slutty
girls!
Oh my God.
We're back with one of my favorite people and someone who I'm just so excited that I'm friends with her, because she's someone who I look at as like a cool girl of comedy. And I just know if you like anything I do, you'll like what she does, because I really do admire her comedically so much. She has a new special out. When is it coming out?
Friday, June 5th at 10 p.m. on Comedy Central, and then it'll stream for free after that.
Oh my gosh, so exciting. Yes, guys, remember to set your DVRs for this. It's Friday, June 5th. I would love for you to do that. It would really mean a lot to everyone and to Comedy Central if you pretended like you watch TV again, like cable. Just do it, please. You don't even have to watch it on there. You know you're going to stream it later, but just throw them a fucking bone. Truly, set your DVRs. It's called Hot for My Name, right?
That's right. Hot for My Name.
Because I'm guessing because your name is does not connotate hotness generally.
It's not a cute name. And growing up with the name Esther, people, you meet people and they're always like, oh my God, that was my dead great grandmother's name. You're just like, okay, I thought I was pretty, but I guess not. And it's in one of my jokes. It's a line in one of my jokes.
Yeah.
And I like it because it's self-deprecating, but it also makes it sound like I do think I'm a little bit pretty.
Yes, you are. You are hot for your name.
Thank you.
I really relate to, like, that's why I love you so much, because you do like girly things. You do care about like being cute and like looking cute. Like, not that all the time. It's not like at the four, but you admit that you care about that stuff.
Totally. I mean, but to me, like, makeup and stuff is more like for fun. You know, I know, you know, we both are women in this industry and we both kind of, there's all these annoying standards that we have to live up to, but I try very hard to treat makeup like it's a fun hobby, you know, and not necessarily like something that anyone actually needs.
Yes.
So I try to keep it like light and fun as possible.
That's really good, Esther. I love hearing you say that, because that you sound like you're actually considering the responsibility you have to young girls who watched you. I'm serious. To not make it seem like it's everything and that you need it, and like, but that it can be fun, because there are young girls watching and there's me watching who sees makeup tutorials or girls talking about clothes, and I get so triggered by it. And I'm like, my clothes aren't cute. I don't care that much about my makeup. I don't clean my brushes. And then I start to hate myself and hate being a woman and want to like dump everything, even though I get really excited about a really cute, fun tie-dye shirt.
Well, that shirt is so cute and you're so beautiful. And you know what though? It's so hard and confusing. And like, I can be both things, you know. I can be like glammed up and like, you know, get a cute shot. You get your makeup and hair done for press, but I can also be absolutely disgusting and I have not showered in like a week plus. And that's, I have to be as confident then. As when I'm like all dolled up. I do have a ring light right now, which I'm very excited about.
I do too. Mine's out, but like ring lights change everything. And I've been loving, they're like spray tans. They're the spray tans of Zoom. Like, they make your hotness so much greater, but it's always really funny when you see a guy with a ring light, like you see it in their glasses. Like guys with ring lights, I'm just like, I mean, I understand some of them need it. But it's
no,
just,
I'm with you on that. It's like, I don't want to see a guy trying anything when it comes to looks. I want a guy that like just knows they're disgusting and just embraces it, so that you, the girl, like, and I know this is very like classic, you know, whatever way of looking at it, but I want to be the pretty little star and you to be just absolutely disgusting.
Wow.
And just stuffing your fat face, not showering. Like, that's what is very attractive to me.
That's so interesting, because I'm attracted to men who are hot and know they're hot. Like, that is a thing.
I know
that
you are.
Like,
it's so weird.
It is weird.
It's a problem.
It is a problem, and it's getting in the way, because I will like I will not like someone, and then I will get around them, and if they're so hot, I just get dazzled and I just get stupid and I can't think, and I get really duped by hot guys, like, very easily. But the thing I know is a bad sign in a guy, and I'm sorry if you do this and you're listening, but it's a bad sign. Selfies. Guys should never do selfies. No excuse to ever do one where it's just about your face. Like, that's a huge red flag. Huge.
Why? Tell me why that's a red flag for you. I'm curious, because you actually like a looking guy. So tell me why.
Now, I still like guys that take selfies, but I acknowledge that it is a definite, because they care about what people think. And that means they will like you when you aren't really that into them. But as soon as they get you, they're going to want to seek it elsewhere. This guy is in desperate need of approval, and it's never going to be enough. I'm never going to be enough for this guy.
Well, can I tell you right now, that's exactly why I have completely given up on being chased, okay? Like, I do not ever, and I'm engaged now, but like, before that and moving forward, if he passes away, he's very old, and he's very unwell.
Yeah, you just, you get guys that don't take care of themselves, so maybe you can go through a bunch of them in a lifetime.
But here's the thing, if a guy chases you, what's he gonna do when he gets you? He's gonna want to chase someone else. And that's why, yes, bitch, yes.
Whoa.
That is why.
Blowing Nikki, my mind, Esther. What the fuck?
If you are waiting to be chased, this is just generic advice, not specific towards you, but also maybe. But like, you gotta just, we're fucking strong women, okay? We like pop stars. We do stand up on stage. You're in a sold out theater tour. Like, you gotta just go get that guy. Like, you gotta be interested in someone and pursue him. Now, that doesn't mean like, oh, go be all bold about it. But like, I just think like, take that power and put it in your hands a little more, because if you're like getting with a guy that chases you down, I don't trust that path. I personally don't trust it for myself or for my friends.
Yes. I really am hearing what you're saying right now. I like, it's hard though, because I have done that before where I've been aggressive and it's so bad. It hurts so bad when you get rejected. However, who cares? You just,
that's what we
on.
Do for a living.
It's what we rejected. Do. Like, I'm getting rejected all the goddamn time professionally. Yeah. You're so right. That's a really, really good point.
You would not be where you are today if you couldn't handle rejection like a fucking beautiful pro.
I really should. You know what I'm almost scared of, though, is that if I pursue a guy and he is like, yeah, and then I won't want it. But then I can just not want it. I can just be like, I was wrong.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I know. I heard you talking
I do that with career things
about
too.
That. I heard you talking about that. I got to close the door because I was told I was being loud. I heard you say that, like, once a guy likes you back, you kind of get over him.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the classic low self-esteem. I really got to work on that. But I'm just going to choose wisely and, like, focus. I think right now, though, I'm forcing myself to, like, date when I don't really want to find a guy. I really don't need one right now. And I just feel like when he appears, I'll go after him. That's how I got my last boyfriend. I fucking went after him. You're so right. This is checking out. I wanted to ask you about your special, because it seems to be from the trailer, your special, Hot for My Name. My guest is little Esther Pavitsky. It's going to be on June 5th on Comedy Central. Make sure to DVR at 10 p.m. It seems like half docuseries. Did you, Nick, your director, same director I had for my special Bangin', Nick Goosen, shout out. He's amazing. And he did something on yours that I wish I could have done on mine, but didn't find a way to make it work. It's like a docuseries. So he followed you around with camera, right?
Yeah. So what we did was we knew, so Nick, like, he was kind of my producing partner in it. So he and I knew from the get-go, like, this is the special we want to do. We want it to go behind the scenes of, like, basically footage of my family. And so what we did was, I had always been really inspired by my favorite TV show, The Osbournes.
Oh my God, I love that show so much.
MTV Holy reality shit. Show, like, early days before reality TV, I think, got too overproduced, right? Like, I didn't want it to feel like The Kardashians, where it's like we're all sitting down and there's like a plot and a scene and like a setup. That I don't like watching it. I didn't want to put that out there. And so I wanted this to feel like a fly on the wall. It was just Nick and his camera, one camera. Just, we went to visit my parents. And it was just him sitting at the kitchen table. And that was kind of the best way to go about it, because, you know, my parents aren't performers. Like, and I think if we had had a camera crew and all that shit, like,
they would have been so nervous. Oh yeah. When my parents are in front of a camera crew, cause I've used my parents a lot in things, they just get they get giggly and they get off. Like, you need to keep it. They truly need to forget the cameras are there to, like, capture the best parts of them. Do they, 100%. Are they happy with how they turned out? Have they seen it yet?
They have seen it. They are okay with it. Like, my mom is your typical, like, insecure Midwestern woman. It's just like, oh my God, like, I look so old.
Yep,
but,
yep.
But I think she looks beautiful.
Of course.
And my parents are really, they're really funny in it. I'll just say it. Like, I honestly think that my stand-up is the weakest part of the special, and everyone who's seen it so far is like, your parents steal this show. Like, they, but I don't, I'm curious if you have this similar, I think our dynamic is so different, because you said your parents love having you there. When I asked you the other night, like, my parents do not want anything to do with me, and that's not an exaggeration. Like, you'll see in the special, they just have no respect for me. They don't think I'm talented. Like, they don't think, it's really,
sorry, babe. Wait, how did you become who you, like, are you still seeking their approval? Is that what made you become, you know, pursue this career to get their approval? Do they like show business stuff? Do they go, do they watch TV? Did you grow up seeing them give attention to the TV? And you're like, if I get on that, like, are you trying to impress them?
I don't, definitely not anymore. I feel like I was a very lonely child. So I think my entertainment industry pursuit is like rooted in just being lonely, like in my room with nothing to do, like wanting attention that way. But yeah, I don't.
That would bum me out so much if my parents didn't. My parents are so supportive. I'm so lucky. But I do realize it's like, oh, I was trying to get their attention all along. They really care about the TV, and they really care about celebrities, and they really care about comedy. So, like, I essentially did the thing that they – I mean, I'm treated like a goddamn queen when I'm on TV in this house. Like, I've been on TV, like, 4 or 5 times. Even the local news, that night my mom made dinner, and she's like, "You, EJ, take out Nikki's recycling." Wait, like, it's my birthday.
You were on the you were on the local news, like, during the pandemic?
Yeah. I've done a lot.
For what?
Just interviewed me, the local weather guy, or the sports guy, is a fan dream. And interviewed me. Yeah, it's so cool. I'm finally, like, becoming, like, a St. Louis celebrity. It's pretty awesome. And I'm like, I could be the
you
most-
You and Nelly.
I know me and Nelly. That's gonna, like, because I'm asking you about this stuff because I want to do a reality show, and because I know that I'm worthy of doing one, because I want to watch other female comics lives too. Like, when you do literally, like, lives, like Instagram lives, you're so captivating. I love watching, like, the behind the scenes. I really feel like that's
I agree. I am interested in it as well. And that's why the special, I didn't want it to be just stand up, because I felt like I wanted this to be a way for people to get to know me in all the ways that are good ways of getting to know me. And I felt like that would include stand up and, like, real footage, because we're comedians, Nikki, not because we're just, like, great joke tellers. Like, you especially, like, we have that, but we are also comedians because we're just, like, weirdos, you know, and that's really
there's
funny.
A lot more to mine for than just our stand-up. We're entertaining in other ways and interesting.
My mom does not miss a single one of your Instagram stories. She catches me up on you, Jenny.
I'm glad I've made her proud.
You really have. But, like, I would love to watch, like, what the hell is going on when you turn this recording off and you go into your parents' kitchen. Like, I want to see that. I want to see what they're saying to you. Like, what? It's so weird.
It's so weird. I got it. Thank you for your endorsement. That really means a lot to me. I'm so excited for your special and seeing the behind the scenes, because, the one thing I wanted to end with, definitely watch Esther's special next Friday, June 5th on Comedy Central, but also just go fall in love with her on Brody Stevens's reality show, which is the first time I saw you do reality that you were captivating. I think that was really what lit the fire under my ass of, like, I want to be on a reality show, because you can look so interesting and so cool and so sweet and so vulnerable and so funny. You were great on Brody Stevens. Enjoy It, I think it was called. But I put a clip of her, of Brody, the late Stephen Brody Stevens, who Esther was really good friends with. They are on his show, and I put a clip of, if you go deep in my Instagram feed and just look for a still image of Brody, you'll find the clip of you and Brody eating pho or something
in Thai Town. By the way, thank you for posting that. It really meant so much to me to get to watch
that. Rewatching that whole series was a moving and emotional experience, but seeing you in it and how dear of a friend you were and how funny and cute you guys were together was just on another level. It is truly one of the best things I watched last year, was rewatching that reality show, and you were just fantastic in it. I mean, you're just so talented, and you had your own show on what was Freeform that I was on called Alone Together, which has become the hashtag of the pandemic, Alone Together. Have you seen that?
It's amazing. You were, by the way, so good. I know I always tell you, but you were so good on that show. Your improv, I'll never forget your improv, like with the parking validation, like you were just so funny. And I know you said recently on a podcast, you're not an actress, but Nikki, hiring actresses for anything ever again, I will be calling you and dragging your ass out.
I love you for saying that. It's one of my, you know, my biggest insecurities. So your validation in that means everything.
It's weird. You're so good. Why are you?
You are very important to me, Esther, because you're such a cheerleader. And as another female comic who is like, we could both be so threatened by each other. And at times I have to admit I am. I'm like, she's so cute. And I could never be that funny and that natural. But you're nothing but the nicest and most uplifting woman for other women. So I just love you so much. Thank you for being on the podcast today. Seriously, this was
awesome. Thanks for having me. Let's have a sleepover when this is over.
I can't wait. We'll tie-dye things. Thank you, Esther. Check out her special this June 5th, Friday, Comedy Central. Hot for my name. Thanks for listening to the show today, guys. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend. And squirt, squirt, jackpot.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.